Hi, everybody. Welcome to another Chats with Children. Today's a very different Chats with Children, so I'm delighted to be joined by my good friend Nigel Walker, who, if you don't know him in life science, you would no doubt have seen him at some show or another, as he's dressed so flamboyantly in his, as we were just saying, mixture of Elvis Liberace and Elton John in terms of his suit. So, Nigel, how are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing very well. Real pleasure to have a chat with you today, Rizwan. It's been, I've really missed you, seeing you on the circuit. I know that we're avid travellers all over the world, seeing our customers. So, love seeing you like running down the aisles, catching the next interview. So, I'm looking forward to having a chat because it's good to see your face and also to hear your voice, and the energy that you bring to the industry is fabulous.
Well, that's very kind of you, Nigel. I mean, for people who don't know, Nigel is actually CEO and founder of That's Nice, or is it managing director? I can never get the job titles right here.
You know what? My dad had the title of managing director, and moving to the United States in 92, I wanted to kind of bring that little bit of the tradition of the United Kingdom over to the US. So managing director and founder, yes, and fun and games for the last 25 years on that one.
Right. And for those of you who don't know what That's Nice is, Nigel, perhaps you can tell a little bit people a bit about the company, because I know you're celebrating 25 years, which is your silver jubilee. So congratulations on that, mate.
Yes. So thank you. I think you sort of look back and you have these moments of life and you say, oh, you know, love to start a company and run a company. Well, again, leaving the UK in 92, 93 after actually a design degree and a philosophy background, and looked at industrial marketing in the United States and big industrial companies in the US. They build these huge plants and they have excess capacity. So we thought that we would start a firm, ended up being May 15th, 1995. So we set out and looked to sell and market the excess capacity from these industrial mites that you have in the US. Very quickly realized that monomers and polymers on the chemical side of the industry was maybe a good opportunity. So the Allied Signals, the Huntsman, the DuPonts and the Dows were our original customers. Very, very quickly moved into strategy planning and very, very simple API chemical synthesis around 1999, 2000. Fun and games, obviously 2001, a real tragic year in the US with the fall of the twin trades. And it really, we needed to bring more value and more focus. So we brought in a strategy team. We brought in some more PR and some digital sort of experts to direct each one of those business units. And it's been a 25-year run for us. Yes, Silver Jubilee. Again, bringing back a little bit more of that US, the crown, the regal background of our early beginnings in the United Kingdom. But it's been a fabulous journey, and we're looking forward to this year, because obviously you get a full year to celebrate, and we do what we can during that time period. But business has moved on. Now we have three areas of research, primary research and insights. We have our science agency, so our strategy business. And more recently, we opened our investment banking and our advisory side to M&A, which is what we've been doing for the last 4 years as well. And that's actually the side of the business I'm now running. And as of May, after 25 years, I actually gave the managing director role over to Wei Gao, who's been with me for 13 years, and he's now the head of the agency. So wrapping it all around, really looking forward to enjoying 2020 as we go into 2021.
Well, that's really good. So how have you found, you know, you don't have a life science background, like you said.
No, adapting... did O-levels in chemistry, biology and physics, but that's really just how to spell biology. Yes, we'll give you an O-level.
Exactly. Well, I don't know about that. I won't go into my O-levels though. But looking back though, in 25 years, you've obviously seen a lot of changes in the industry. And obviously you're talking about M&A and you've moved into that area as well. So what have been some of the highlights for you in the last 25 years, or the sort of key moments for you, you think, within life science in those last 25 years?
Well, I think there was a lady called Pamela Roach, and she worked at the Allied Signal Corporation that was merged with Honeywell. And she was actually a lady. She's an African-American lady. She took a chance with That's Nice. and actually gave us a corporate account. We were able to do a corporate level branding work for Allied Signal. Ended up doing 17 divisions of the business. And it's meeting a visionary individual that took a chance on that's nice. And we were forever be indebted to Pamela. And I was actually able to thank her obviously many, many different times. I was able to give her a consulting project last year as we did an M&A project in biologics for a European buyer. So that's kind of like a really important moment. But I think in 2008 and 2009, we started the research business. And Nice Insight was a moment where you could look at the CDMO space and you can now actually do primary research and pricing for different services. And I think as an agency, we moved from having a perception of being a strategic marketing agency to being more of a fully rounded agency, more end-to-end, which is obviously one of those buzz terms now. So I think those two moments there, somebody giving us a chance on a corporate level and us trailblazing and having a disruptive service, which is what we did in 2008. The most financial impact on the agency was probably at the end of 2015 and 2016, when we invested in a viral vector startup. Did all the branding for them and the investment side, and that ended up giving us a tremendous return. So financial stability was achieved after that divestiture to Thermo Fisher in 2019. But obviously those three moments would come to a moment. And actually going back to 2008, it was a gentleman that we hired from MIT, another guy from Africa, guy from Sierra Leone, a guy called Victor Coker, that sort of we drove that together and spurred us on to do something different. So those are the three moments, Rizwan, that I would say that have made the difference and the transitions that have happened and really sort of exciting. So, you know, as we look forward, who knows going forward, but those three would probably be my personal three highlights.
Fantastic. Thanks for sharing that, Nigel. So looking ahead now, obviously M&A activity is huge now, particularly if you look over the last few years, but since obviously COVID's hit, lots of people are looking at biotechs now, looking at investing. So what advice would you give to people if they're looking at biotechs now in terms of investing in biotechs?
So that's a great question. So, you know, let's break it down from, you know, institutional investing, but, you know, obviously the Chat with Chowdhury audience probably going to be more of an industry. You know, we're all in the industry, so we look. So I think if you're looking on a personal level, the last 6 months has been a tremendous amount of movement, as you've seen, on the vaccine space. So if you're a service provider, a manufacturer, on the syringe level in the glassware, all the way through to the fill finish of the sterile compound, and obviously all of the drug substance components that would go into that. So if you're as an organization that is anything to do with viral, you've typically seen those stocks rocket up. Now, put that aside and now look at the R&D organization. So these are from transgenics, from the plant expression to mammalian, to microbial, different expression platforms and different cell or strain cultures. These organizations have been heavily supported. Even have a look at a company like Catalent, the giant CDMO in the industry. Stock was trading early April at $34 a share and peaked up at $94 a share. So that's a really safe bet for you back in April going forward to August, early September. But then you have to look at the biotech space itself. Cell and gene therapy is as hot as it's going to be. We've seen some trades up at 100 times earnings, 150 times earnings, 200 times earnings. If you see an organization that's getting positive indications for their clinical trials in phase 2A or 2B, you're very likely to see a big bounce in share price. And then let's go down to new modalities. So Seres Therapeutics, which is in the microbiome space, it's the first therapeutics company in the microbiome space that is trailblazing in late phase. That had a 600% increase in its stock value. with just its first late phase trial results that came in that were very, very positive. So on the CDMO level, anything to do with vaccines, viruses, fill finish, that's in the viral space. On the biotech side, you've got to be looking at organizations that are in the cell and gene space. And then you can have new modalities in microbiome. And again, anything that's in stem cell research, you're going to see huge, huge returns. So as not only investors, but as a private placement company, we've seen ginormous returns on all of those three category groups.
There you go. Well, thank you for that lovely bit of investment advice. And that's all been free, yeah. People. So we're not even charging you for this advice. So any returns, we only want a couple of percent. You obviously want more, Nigel, because you're greedier than I am.
I am, yes.
But anyway, moving on, let's talk about the other part of the business, your historical part of the business in terms of the marketing and so on. Marketing's changed a lot within life science, obviously. You've had new platforms now. Social media's come in. Internet, obviously, has grown tremendously over the last 15, 20 years, and now social media's kicked in the last 5, 10 years. From a marketing perspective, when you're talking to clients, I know you're not doing that so much now, Way's doing that, but as an agency, how important do you think social media is for clients now in terms of communicating within the life science space?
Well, I think if you look back at, look at your question there, and let's look at content as a topic. We decided 6 years ago when we started Farmers Almanac is that we really didn't want to sell ads. We, 10 years ago, having a commission on selling display advertising, whether it be digital or in print, was pretty much null and void because the publishers had all gone around the agencies was going direct to the buyer, to the corporate buyers. So we took a policy to do zero markup on media buy. Now you get a media plan fee and you get a clippings fee and tracking and performance fee, but the media buy, which is where the money was, is all went away. Okay. So if you take a look now at media is all about content. So if you build a messaging map with the right pillar messaging for your brand, for your client base or product, and then you continually dig into that messaging map to extrapolate the small bits of content for social, whether it be Twitter or for LinkedIn. And then on obviously some of more of your public relations pushes on your own corporate website or events or on some sort of crowdsourcing sites as well. So content is king. It still has been king. I think that most pharma innovator customers on our biotech clients, they're very uncomfortable with non-investor relation content. Right. So they're continually marketing investment to their shareholders or to their new series or round of funding. If you take a look on the CDMO, on the manufacturing side or on the contract research or clinical trial side of our clients, they're now starting to get their staff to post on LinkedIn. And this has started happening maybe 3 years ago. And you now have a dedicated social media department. So if you're looking at big organizations that we work with, they actually have a dedicated social media department. Sure. 10 years ago, we don't want to talk about anything. On an agency side, what we do is we actually manage that social media and we are the in-house social media department. And you will see a huge amount of traffic and links and likes and clicks from social media. Where's it all going to go? Well, my feeling is that LinkedIn is completely cleaning up with everybody. And if you start to see the traffic that's going on there, it's getting a little bit out of hand. Now, videos, once LinkedIn last year started taking videos, because it's really only been 12 months, doing a video post will typically give you about 20 times the return of likes or comments than would for a picture. And you know that because obviously I watch all your chats with Chowdhury and they're a lot of fun. You get to see people, maybe that you don't have 10 or 15 minutes with to see where that's going. So I see video on social, heavy content structure, but with light science. And that's the balance. I mean, our PhD staff write a lot of content for us, but a lot of the times I have no clue what they're actually talking about. I have to put my hand up and be total guilty. Now, I learn it, but some of their really advanced science is way beyond my skill level.
All right. And that's an interesting one to talk about social media, just going on a little bit about social media. How important is it, do you think, for companies now with social media to try and get their personality across? in social media? Because I mean, you know, you are a big personality. I loved the campaign that's nice ran a few years ago when you were in your Lycra superhero uniform and everybody else was dressed up, and that was great. And you know, and I think, you know, you've got your own personal branding, as we talked about. We bump into each other's shows all the time. I recognize you from your suit, you recognize me from my orange trainers, you know, my orange rucksack or whatever. So we've all got our own personal brandings. But how important do you think it is it for your clients and clients in general in life science? Because the industry historically has been very conservative. And, you know, having worked in lots of other markets, I've worked in consumer and banking other and IT in other areas. You know, some markets are obviously a lot more flamboyant, let's say, or more out there than life science. I know the nature of the industry is more regulated, but do you think companies should start to get their personality over? And you know, particularly as values are becoming more and more important to people in terms of who they want to work with and who they want to work for as well.
Well, I think let's look at an example here. As you see CEOs of large scale European corporations and North American corporations that are completely fine now getting in front of the camera and talking about the passion of their innovation, product development, next generation of molecule, and what their organization is doing. Right now, there's a lot of CEOs talking about safety, what they're doing to protect their staff in the workplace. Because obviously as a critical care, a category group in life sciences, you know, we are actually allocated and are enabled to work, go back to the lab and go back to manufacturing. We see about 30% of our client staff are actually at home, the sales and the administrative individuals. These people are also getting out there on social media and talking about what their organization is doing. I think if you have a look at, you know, like the head of Bayer, the head of BSF, all these big European players, not necessarily specifically heavily focused on manufacturing in the pharma space, but we're starting to see their posts. They're actually the CEO and founder or CEO and chairman of the board are there, and they're doing a short video or a post on how proud they are of their organization. I think if those types of caliber of top level C-suite executives can actually get air in front of their laptop camera and talk pleasantly, positively, and energetically about their corporation, I think that we all should start to try. Now, the main thing is here, is going all back to PR school, is that you have to follow the rules. And we have a policy at That's Nice is we only ever publish positive news. You know, we're not going to discuss, you know, 23483s. We're not going to discuss plant explosions. None of that. Not interested. I know that the negative news does sell and people are really interested in it. But I'm really only interested in what the future of healthcare is all going to be about. So I feel that if our CEOs can do it, then we should be comfortable with that. But there has to be a parameter and some guidance on what you can say. So it's not looking at a TripAdvisor note to say that you didn't get your soup for 10 minutes sitting in the cafe. This needs to be a bit more serious. And also people aren't always comfortable being in front of the camera. So if you haven't done public speaking, a camera is quite scary.
It is.
Even for us, you know, we're very used to being in front of the camera and talking about what we do. But, you know, you can certainly trip me up if you get me in the, let's just say, deep down and deep science. But I think the idea is yes. I think we're going to see a lot more CEOs and leaders of industry in social media going forward.
Brilliant. Okay. Well, I've got only a couple more questions to go because I know you're a busy man and you've taken a lot of time out to talk to me today. So the two other things I wanted to ask you was, if someone's starting out now, what's the one bit of advice you'd give them as a budding entrepreneur? What advice would you give on if they were thinking, right, I want to, now, particularly in this current climate, a lot of people, unfortunately, are now having to review their futures and see what they're going to do. And they're thinking, do I take that next step to start working for myself? So what would be the first bit of advice you give to someone if they're thinking about starting on their own?
Well, I think the two of us is a perfect example. I actually started my first company at 14 years of age.
Right.
And you started your entrepreneurial career slightly older than 14 years.
A bit older than 14.
Yeah. So it's a time of life. You know, if you're young, free, and footloose free, let's just say, and you're without children and you don't have a mortgage and you don't have those car payments, you can always put a little bit aside. It's best to start a business with no debt. I'll tell you, first of all, no debt, because you then don't have to continually answer to the bank or when those payments are going to be made. So that's the first thing. Save some money. Make some sacrifices on some of those luxury goods and put a little bit of money aside. Second thing is when you start your business for your first 2 years, you've got to take a massive salary cut. So make sure that you can afford to live with very little return. You know, you might go from, I think I went from a giant salary all the way down to a really tiny little salary when the business started. So you've got to make sacrifices. If you are a passionate individual and you think about your business and your quality of life 7 days a week, you are a perfect candidate for an entrepreneur, to be an entrepreneur. If you're not, you might want to rethink it, because it is grueling, it's hard work, it's a minimum of 12 hours a day, but the returns can obviously be great. As you get a little bit older in life, maybe after you paid most of your mortgage off, or you know your kids are out of college, or you know they're a little bit more safe in the world and you don't need to do their micromanaging, that's another good time, because you've got a lot of wisdom, 20, 25 years of knowledge, say you like yourself, Rizwan, and that's another time where you can really contribute and you can really make great strides in your business progress at that time of life. But it's also important to hire youth, because no business that I've started and have run is successful without the staff. It doesn't matter how much hard work you put in, you've got to hire good people around you. And it's always, and then taking words from Mr. Richard Branson, or Sir Richard Branson, is that you've got to hire good staff. Hire people that are better than you, not that you intimidate, that are worse than you, or don't have the skills that you need. You've got to hire people that you can learn from, because then you get better, you work together, and that symbiotic relationship. So don't hire a bunch of clones of yourself. Complementary, synergistic staff that you can learn from, different areas of the world, different nationalities, must have a mix of genders, very, very important. And I could say that that's been our success with 52% minorities. But that's nice. We've always had a great diversification of people from around the world, and that's it. And then it's guaranteed to succeed.
Well, mate, I appreciate that. I mean, I think hopefully a lot of people listening to this will find that useful. So I know it's a very difficult time for a lot of people out there, and obviously our wishes are with them. But it is a very daunting thing. But if you believe in yourself and you know you've got a great idea, and as Nigel said, you've got hopefully some funding behind you to support you if things get difficult, then you know it's the best thing that I ever did, I have to say. I say that now, year on, hopefully I'll carry on saying that in another year's time, but I've really enjoyed it. So now, moving on, because we were talking about your anniversary, and you're now going to be starting a little tour across Europe for the Road 2021. Sorry, won't talk about too much about that. So but where you are doing, I mean, you've already had some interviews in the US, yeah. I know, which have been up on LinkedIn as well, which have been very, very good. And to be honest, if you want to know about Nigel's interviews, mine are obviously very low tech. His are very, very high tech. So there'll be a nice contrast when you watch Nigel's videos. I can assure you they're very, very high quality. And you're going to be interviewing a number of different people across Europe. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about that and the mode of transport you're taking actually to do this tour.
Yes. So we had a fabulous trip in 2017. We did a trip from Cambridge, Massachusetts to the Bio Convention, and we actually drove one of the company cars onto the stand, parked it right next to Lonza and Fuji and Catalent. And we stopped at 49 locations, just shy of 5,000 miles, and videotaped the whole thing, just interacting with the scientists and the discovery staff from the industry. So we wanted to take that and sort of triple it up, double it up. So we picked a staff of six, two camera people and sound people from the US, two from the UK, our account director, Phil Neal, from the UK office, and myself. So six of us traveling across. And we started planning in May last year, and then COVID hit, boom. No US passports into Europe, bad news bears. So a little bit of a downsided the trip, but we're heading out with four of us now. We've just chrome plated two brand new Mini Cooper Works. They just got them back this week. We are going to visit around about 100 companies from across Europe. So we're going to do 25 countries in 25 days. We set off on the 28th of September, which is Monday coming up. And you can see, starting about 24 hours later, you can start to see the dailies and see what we're covering. We are going to be touching all industries around life science, from logistics companies to innovators to diagnostics, healthcare professionals. Obviously, of course, playing the 6 feet mask covered apart and abiding by all of the social gathering rules. It looks like it's going to be a bit tough for us to get into Hungary and Croatia. So we had to add on a couple more countries, and it's going to be huge. And I'm really also, Rizwan, looking forward to speaking to you after a 14 to 18 hour day during the trip. And you can see me busted up, tired as hell, bad hair, bad shirt, oil on my hands, completely wrecked at the driving 500 to 600 miles. So super exciting. And I have to say that Scotland is going to be looking like crowns. We have 12 companies that are meeting us at the Glasgow Science Museum on the start of the third day, September 30th. So really looking forward to it. Of course, we've had to pull 1,000 favors to get people out of, pulling out of their companies. We're going to be hopefully trying to meet outdoors. And again, trying to stay away from no more than 6 people. So it's going to be tough. Really looking forward to it. And I think it'll be a great celebration for our road to 2021 is the driver, and a focus on our Silver Jubilee.
Well, it sounds very exciting, actually. And I look forward to catching up with you, yeah, maybe on a daily basis. Who knows? We'll see, depending on your itinerary, and catching up with who you saw that particular day. And so you can find Nigel, as he says, on his road to 2021 on LinkedIn and through the post. But also I'll be sharing some posts when I catch up with Nigel, hopefully, throughout his trip. So watch out for those as well. So Nigel, all that's left for me to say is, mate, have a safe journey. Look after yourself.
Yeah.
I look forward to you wearing a different flamboyant shirt or jacket on that trip. I don't want to see the same thing on 2 days running, mate. You need to.
No, you won't. You won't. Don't you worry.
And,
can you imagine can you imagine trying to actually pack, 5 suits, 20, 25 shirts, tons of shoes?
Yeah, well, at least if you're driving, the same thing as rather getting on a plane. I mean, the weight would be exorbitant trying to take that overseas on a plane, but at least in a car you can fit it in. That's the one thing. But mate, so look after yourself, have a great trip. Thank you very much for taking the time out to talk to me. I mean, it's been really interesting learning about the history of the agency and the advice you've given, not just in terms of starting your own business, but also looking at biotechs and so on. So I really appreciate you taking time out, mate. It's been very interesting. Thank you very much.
And there is one I see you as a friend, and miss seeing you on the tours. I love your energy, as you know, and your passion, and it's really important that you connect with all of the different facets of the industry, and I appreciate you asking me to do this interview today.
No, I love you. Thank you very much for your time. And to everybody else, as always, look after yourself. I hope you found that useful. If you've got anybody else you'd like me to let me know, but if you've got any questions for Nigel specifically, put them in the comments box below the video. I'm sure Nigel will be delighted to answer them, or send him a message. I'm sure it'll be lovely to hear from you. And until next time, as always, stay well and stay safe. Take care. Bye-bye.